Greetings of peace. Welcome to the Dean Show. Very exciting topic. As always, every week we're here sharing the message with you. Subscribe to the Dean Show if you haven't already. Now I have a good friend, Carlos. He's a professor in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, black belt, world champion. He was telling me this wonderful story. He brought his Muslim friends down to Brazil, and these were his students. And now they were looking for some halal meat. What is halal meat? We'll get into that in a moment. So now they went to a farm, they got some chickens, and I don't know if they got some goats, whatever the case. But the natives there, they were like, what are you going to do now? Because they didn't find the shop. So they said, look, we're going to take care of the business ourselves, slaughter the animal. So the people, I think they were bringing out hammers. They're like, what are these people going to do? How are they going to do it? But once he witnessed how they slaughtered the animals, the people were like, what are these people doing? It was so easy. The animals were so relaxed. And at the end, he's been a halal meat advocate now since that happened. And that is the opening now for this week's show. We're going to be talking about, what is this halal meat? What do these Muslims do in that country that had everybody around them fascinated with how they prepared the animals to eat for human consumption? So we're going to be talking about this topic that at times people, they don't know, they hear halal meat and they just panic. And there's some controversy surrounding it at times.
Pizza Express is serving only halal chicken without telling customers.
I wouldn't knowingly buy a halal turkey, would you? Actually, I would. In fact, most Americans who eat turkey would probably be more likely to buy a halal or kosher one if they knew what it stood for.
But I guarantee you, after this show, you, even if you're not a Muslim yet, you're going to be a strong advocate of halal meat, and you're probably going to start eating it too. We'll be right back with our next guest, Dr. Muhammad Khan, here on The Dean Show. Don't go anywhere.
This is The Dean Show. This is
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
How are you, Dr. Khan?
Alhamdulillah, I'm fine. Thank you very much.
You're a medical doctor by profession?
Yes.
But you're also excited about sharing this message with the world.
That is true.
Now, we're going to be talking about halal meat. And simply, halal is just permissible, isn't it?
Yes.
Now, look, I started off with a story. Let me just elaborate a little bit on this story, and then we'll take it from there. So what I talked about, and more of the details, are that this friend of mine, Carlos, is a world champion in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. This is what I train. And he brought his Muslim students down to Brazil with him, and they were looking for some halal meat. Couldn't find a place, obviously, in that neck of the world. So they ended up getting some chickens or some animals, goats, whatever the case. So they did the slaughtering themselves. The natives were like so amazed at the process. They've never seen something like that. They thought they were working some voodoo, some magic or something. So ever since then, he has been a strong proponent of eating halal meat. Now, this friend of mine, Carlos, tell us what was so unique about this. Now, we experience this, you know, a lot. We're used to it. But for someone else, when they see the animal submissive, right? Now some people are actually seeing, there's a video called Mercy Slaughter. They're seeing some of this footage, how the animal submits. Can you walk us through this a little bit?
Well, that is true, that halal meat is certainly a blessing of God. The way we sacrifice the animal, it's also very humane for the animal, and it's medically very beneficial for the human being, who is the consumer. And sure enough, the way your professor friend was telling you, that is the way the animals are slaughtered. I have seen it myself in a Spanish country where the big bulls were put in one area where they were pushed to funnel out. In the end, there was only one coming in, and the man is standing on the top of him like about few feet, and he has a long spear kind of a thing which is hitting the animal's back constantly and not once, because a huge big bull, you know, so like about 30 times, 40 times, and the animal is bleeding and going through pain, and all the hormones, toxic hormones, are increasing in his body, and all the blood is saturating the meat, and then the animal dies. So alhamdulillah, when you see that kind of thing, we all thank Allah for the way that his prophet told us how to sacrifice the animal. And not only this, that is one area, but also the halal meat has got many benefits. For example, number one way, people will ask, well, how will you find out in the market if it's a halal meat or not? The one way to find out is that you could have 2,000 pound or 1,000 or pound, you make pieces over there on one table, and in the end, you will not even see one drop of blood. There's no drop of blood in the halal meat.
So that's one of the things about halal meat. Let's back it up now. What are we starting? Because isn't this the original way of the Jews and the Christians now from way back, that now you start with the name of God? You don't have the permission to take even this animal's life, this mercy of Islam, that now you pronounce the name of God over it. And you get the permission, by the name of God, you slaughter this animal.
That is very true. We do that with the name of God, and there's a barakah in it. But I was also trying to highlight to our non-Muslim or not yet Muslim brothers and sisters in America that there are other medical benefits too. And once they start using this halal meat, they will always use it. For example, as I mentioned, there's no blood in it. Why this is important? That the blood has saturated in all kind of hormones and toxins and viruses and other things, and the blood is, if it is drained out, you will be safe from the toxic effects of the blood. The other thing also is that if you remember, you go to the doctor, he checks, and you want him to check your cholesterol, he checks your blood, he doesn't check your urine, because it's in the blood.
Yeah.
You know, so therefore, the people who are high in cholesterol or high in triglycerides, they should especially eat only halal meat because it is free from blood. So it has got lesser amount of cholesterol and triglycerides in it. And also, the other thing is that the meat is fresh. You take 1 pound of halal meat, 1 pound of the other, put it in there in one place, and later on you're going to see that the one which is halal is not going to smell as bad as the other one. And third thing is that it tastes better. Now, I never ate it, the one with the blood meat, which means non-halal, but the people who have eaten, Christians, Hindus, and others, they have always told me that the halal meat, once they started eating it, because of the taste, they always continued eating it.
Translate this word again. I've said it, but people hear halal. Now, what are we saying? Halal means what? Just
halal means it is clean. It is done in the name of Allah. It is pure from blood. There's no blood in it. And also, it is very humane for the animal also, because we all remember in the school age when the kids are, and I as a pediatrician know it, that the mother brings a child saying that the child fainted out in the school. Why? I asked him a question, he didn't eat a breakfast. So which means what? He has a less sugar, and check his blood pressure, which is less blood pressure. And what happens is that there's a less amount of glucose going to the brain, less amount of oxygen, and the child faints. Same thing is the animal. When you slaughter the animal, you cut its jugular vein, keeping the spine intact, and all the blood comes out. The brain sends the commands, give me more blood, give me more blood, give me more. And the body twitches and twitches, and the blood, instead of going to the brain, going out, and suddenly fall the level of glucose and the oxygen, and the animal goes in fainting, deep fainting, and anesthesia, and dies in that without having any pain.
Beautiful. So
while you see other animals, they suffer a lot, and all kind of toxins are loaded in their blood.
It's more humane. Yes. It's something that is better for you health-wise. And we're going to be talking about more about permissible meat. That's it. It's permissible by the one who created that animal and given it to you to eat. We'll be right back with more with Dr. Muhammad Khan here on The Deen Show.
Of one God, he is the only creator of all creations, and he is the one that worthy of being worshipped and thanked by all his creations. And he also created lambs and goats as a blessing for humans for the purpose of food and clothing. The scriptures also preaches about humane treatment of animals. And as a humans, we only have the right to slaughter him in God's name, to be mentioned before slaughter.
Please subscribe to The Deen Show. Follow us on our official Facebook and Twitter pages in the links below. Please also help support The Deen Show by making a donation in the link below.
Back here on The Deen Show, and we're talking about permissible meat. Permissible by who? But the one who created the meat, the creator. That's what halal is. It's things that are permissible, things that the creator has given us now. So we take this animal that now we're kind to. There's mercy towards this animal. And that's what we were seeing in the story that I opened with, that you gave an a great example of people basically butchering the animal even before it dies, yeah, with hammers and whatnot. So when they saw this animal, now when the throat was slit for the animal in a humane way, he didn't. Does the animal experience any pain?
It does not, because it certainly goes in fainting.
But if you're stunning the animal or beating the animal, statistically, they've done studies on it that now you're actually traumatizing. Go into this.
Definitely, when you're stunning the animal, after the effect of the stunning, he might be stunned, but then still he's loaded with the blood in him.
Yeah.
And in process of that, the blood has all the toxins and viruses, as I mentioned to you, and is saturating the meat, and that's what goes in people's stomachs. So in halal meat, the animal is pure of blood, you know, it's gone out. And also the cruel method, as you mentioned, increases the adrenaline level in the animal, and is loaded with adrenaline and other hormones, and which even makes it worse.
There's a hadith also that comes to mind where the last and final messenger sent to mankind, who's a brother to Jesus, Moses, Abraham, because we all know they brought the same message, worship the Creator, not the creation. He was the seal of the prophets. Prophet Muhammad, he said, when you do everything, we do it in excellence. Even now when slaughtering the animal, he taught us the procedure of doing this in such a humane way. Not even, the hadith talks about not killing the animal twice, that not even showing the animal the knife.
Yes.
Right? Can you talk about this?
Yes. The animal has to be, number one, there are certain few points, important points, that the animal should be fed well. He should not be empty stomach, not be thirsty, not be hungry for so many days. He should be let loose, free. And then when he's slaughtered, he should be slaughtered with a sharp knife so it doesn't feel in pain. It is very fast. And secondly, it should not be in front of the other animals who are standing right there. Unfortunately, we don't see these kind of things these days. But in all the Muslims, wherever they can do it, they all of them try to do this thing.
And this is very similar. A lot of people have gotten used to when you say kosher meat. People don't have a problem with that. But why do people have a problem with when you say halal meat?
How are halal chicken slaughtered? Halal chicken must be alive when they're slaughtered. Of course, everything's got to be alive before it dies. That is the nature of life. British chickens, we always make sure they're dead before we kill them. We don't even think about killing it till it's been dead. Like, it dies, and then we kill it.
Some people now, some of the people who are the haters of Islam, as soon as you say, there's no problem with kosher meat, but now when you say halal, people get freaked out. Why is that?
Well, unfortunately, halal is part of the baggage of the Muslims, and they don't like, without even knowing, this is the sad part, without even understanding what Islam is, what Muslims are, they just have a frame of mind, a mindset that anything which is related to Muslims or Islam is bad. But sure enough, kosher and halal have similarities, that both of them are blood-free. On both of them, name of God has been taken. And both of them are prepared in a clean way and sharp knife. And also, the difference is important thing is that price-wise, the meat of halal is much cheaper than the meat of kosher.
We're going to go to this clip right now.
No panic hormones whatsoever. Bismillah. Allah. It's okay, baby. It's okay. I'm not doing anything yet. Bismillah. Allahu Akbar. It's okay, baby. Same reaction. They all react the same. The power of the word. The power of the word gets clearer and clearer after you see more and more submit.
Now in the video, you see the animals, they're just like submitting. They're not panicking. As he said, there's no panic hormones. They're just relaxed. What's going on here?
Well, they are relaxed because, to be honest with you, I mean, the word of God has been recited on it a few times. And as Allah says in Quran, that the animals are made for human consumption, some of the animals. And these animals are programmed for that. And therefore, when it's done with the name of Allah, they become quiet and peaceful. And plus, during the process, with the blood draining out, they suddenly become faint in a little while. But even before that, it's because of the name of the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Now, when you said Allah in Aramaic, Jesus would have said, this is a sister language, Allah, this is the same God. that Jews and Christians who are Arabic speaking in the Arabic Bible, they use the word Allah. This is not some moon god or something.
People. No, it's not. It's the same God.
This is the same God. Yeah. Now, this goes back into now. Let's go off a little bit here. What got you excited? Because you're also in the field of sharing, because we care, so we share this message. And the importance, because now you're very active. You've actually taken out many ads and many magazines, trying to reach out to our brothers in humanity. So that's what I want to focus on next, the importance of educating people. Because look, just by explaining what halal is, meaning it's permissible by God, people see the benefits of it, hopefully, and they'll probably start eating it, halal meat.
Yes.
But something more important, Islam, Muslims, what is this message about? Some people attribute it to terrorism and whatnot. This is a false notion. Why is it so important to do some of the things that you're also doing? But if every Muslim was out there sharing, we wouldn't have most of these problems that we have.
You said it very right, brother, that we should be sharing the message of Allah to the other brothers and sisters. This is our responsibility. We cannot run away from it. We try to run away, but still this is our responsibility. Dawah, which is Arabic word for reach out, is our responsibility. And we should do that in whichever way we can do it. And certainly I have done in different ways. For example, one of the way I've been doing it, as you just mentioned, putting ad in different newspapers and magazines, which are of national level. Like one of the magazines is for a psychology for psychologist called Counseling Today. In the end, you will see the ad. And this goes to every counselor who does counseling with depression in schools and even the hospitals, the psychiatric. And that paper, Harvard Crimson, is of the Harvard University. And there's an ad in there, five-line ad. This India Abroad is for the Indian community, East to West Coast. And then there's another Buddhist community newspaper also, which also goes with the ad in there. I put on five-line ads. First of that is questions about Islam. Then second is peacetv.tv. Then the third line is about whyislam.org. If you are in a state which is east of Chicago, which means towards New Jersey, because this organization is there. If you are on the west of Chicago, you can put on gainpeace.com. The good thing with Gainpeace is it has a link with the Deen Show also, which is certainly doing a lot of work. And you, alhamdulillah, may Allah reward you for that. And third is twf.org, who is also trying to correct the misconception on the Muslims. The other ones are for Islam, and this one is for Muslim.
We're going to take a break. They're telling us, I'm so sorry to interrupt you. We got to take a break, but when we come back, you're going to, with your 40 years plus experience living in this country now, American citizen, you're going to be telling us what the biggest problem Muslims are facing now and how to correct that. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
We'll be right back with Dr. Muhammad Khan here in the Deen Show.
Probably some of you are wondering by now about the Arabic words that I use that makes the animals submit the way they did. The first term we use, and this is really the authentic procedure, one of the terms of authentic procedure that is being mentioned in the scripture, is in the name of God the greatest, which is Bismillah, Allahu Akbar. There's another prayer that I usually use, and it's my favorite prayer and my animal's favorite prayer. The beauty of this prayer really shows some of the power of the word itself. It says, in the name of God, who's with his name, no harm will come, neither in this earth nor in the skies. And he's the one that hears and listens, and he's the most knowledgeable.
Please subscribe to The Deen Show. Follow us on our official Facebook and Twitter pages in the links below. Please also help support The Deen Show by making a donation in the link below.
Back here on The Deen Show. Now, I'm very, passionate about sharing because I care about humanity. And I know that once they experience this, there'll be a totally new persona. There'll be a totally new perception. And it will erase the misconceptions, and the bad persona that many people have. And I get excited when other people see the value of this. And you're one of those people that is really also excited about inviting people, sharing, because it's not our job to convert anybody. It's just to share, right?
That's right. That's right.
So you're doing that. So before I left, we're going to get, after a few more questions, the blueprint, okay? You have a great blueprint, and you're going to share this with our viewers. But what do you see the biggest problem facing Muslims today? What is that problem?
The biggest problem facing Muslims today in USA is the image problem. Unfortunately, due to the generations of hatred that is going on, misinformation and disinformation has become to the level where people don't even question it. But we as Americans, we as Muslims, it is our duty and responsibility to bring them the other side of the story, which unfortunately media does not want to bring it for its own reasons. So we should do that. And each one is responsible for it in this life. When you look at your grandchildren, if you want them to be lost, as Muslims have been lost in this country before, they came in 1900, 1920s, now you don't find them. But if you want the Muslims to remain and the mosque to remain open, now that you see the churches are closing, the synagogues are closing because they cannot pay the bills. So the only way we can keep ourselves, our role as American citizens, as Muslims, is to present Islam to the people who are don't know anything about Islam or know only negative things about Islam. And the different things which can be done is, one of them is, as I mentioned, that we put ads in different newspapers. You can do it too. The easiest way to start the ad is, look in your local newspaper. There's a religious directory which comes on Thursday or Friday. It has different churches in there, places of worship. You call them, the rate over there is the cheapest. So it's 4 times a month. You put an ad over there, questions about Islam. Underneath that, you can put on peacetv.tv, thedeenshow.com, gainpeace.com, the other one is whyislam.org. This is important. And the other thing you can do is, if you more people join in and the money becomes a little more, then you can go on a bigger level. Like I have done it, but you do in your own state and focus in yours so that you saturate in your state first. And the other thing you can do that like these are the small booklets that we have. Maududi's Towards Understanding Islam, Brief Illustrated Guide of Understanding Islam, and Professor Gerald Dirks, who is a former Methodist minister, has come on this program, his book. These books are $2 to $5. We should try to reach to opinion molders. This is very important. Opinion molders are who? Clergies, libraries, teachers, journalists, politicians, even mayors. We buy these books, for example, in bulk, and you make a small address of your own. If you don't, you speak with the mosque and force them, pressure them, that they should start a dawah section. And then they can put on that address. If that is not ready yet, you can make some small organization. For example, if you are in Vermont, you can say Vermont Muslim Reaching Out, post office box address, and then mail it to the people with a covering letter. And in the end, you please put down on the last page, you put down a label which should be 3 inch, 5 inches with all the 5 things, websites that I mentioned, question about Islam. Why? Because dawah, it has to be done in bulk. It's like an advertisement. Dawah has to be done in bulk and continuously. Only then it's going to work. If you do it for a little time, then forget about it, then it's gone. So we have to be constant about it.
This was one of the first books when I knew nothing about Islam. And I started to investigate, look into Islam. You know, this is one of the books now, even coming from a background family, Muslim, but nobody was practicing. You know, nobody really knew the basic tenets of Islam. But this, when I read this book was so powerful because it gave, we want evidence.
Yes.
Facts, not fiction. We don't want some fairy tales, okay? But Islam gives us all those facts so we can know that it's indeed from the Creator who created creation. And this book was very powerful. So I really recommend anyone who wants to know about Islam, get this book. Get this book. And it goes over everything in a very simplistic, easy to read format with some great pictures. So let's recap now. So someone doesn't speak good English, doesn't have good communication skills, they can go, but they got some money now, they want to contribute to doing something good. Education is key, because once people get educated, they're going to see that Islam doesn't call people to terrorism. Islam calls people to be friendly and kind and the best of manners, the best of character. And you put the information of how people can get to a Muslim in these ads, right? So people can go now and contact. Do you have phone numbers now? People can contact you, like, because you already know, you've made the contacts with a lot of these magazines. How could people, do you have a list of that people can contact you so you can make it easy? So then people can say, okay, contact this newspaper, and put an ad in that. Do you have something like that set up?
Yeah, they can contact me if they want to. My email address is mjkhan11373@yahoo.com. And I will discuss with them and explain them how to do that. But sure enough, it's very important that the people who do these things should be in contact with the organizations that we mentioned earlier, so that there's no duplication of resources, no waste at one time, because if two people are putting same ad in newspaper, newspapers can never go and tell
you. I see what you're saying. Yeah, so we forgot to mention, so contact some of the organizations that they can gain peace or Y Islam.
Yes.
Someone get with them.
Keep them informed when you put an ad so that somebody else wants to put an ad in the same newspaper, not knowing that you are doing it in the same town. Then these people can tell you, no, somebody else is doing it, you do in some other newspaper. Eventually, if we work together like this, inshallah, we can reach out to as many of our American brother and sister in rural area, which is very important. Unfortunately, that is being neglected by most of the organizations in this country, Muslim organizations, because they are based in the big cities. But the America is 80% rural. We have to reach out to them in the villages and less populous states and cities.
We're out of time, unfortunately.
Well,
thank you so much. I'm very excited to have you on the program. Thank you. Continue with your perseverance. Continue sharing the truth. Inshallah, Allah grant you Jannah. Thank you, Shaykh.
You're welcome.
And you got to learn about halal meat, permissible meat.
The animal must not be diseased. If the turkey has tumors or cysts, it's not certified. The meat must not come in contact with contaminants, you know, like worms, bugs, dirt, feces, bacteria, things that are also not allowed by federal meat inspectors. All the blood must be allowed to drain out before packaging.
By the one who created the meat, the one who created the animal, and out of his mercy now, he's made it submissive for you when you pronounce God's name over it. And then you do it the right way. You got health benefits, as the doctor went over, by draining all the blood out and the procedure. And you see that very similar to kosher. That's it. It's the right process so you can have the most beneficial outcome. And it's the way that Jesus slaughtered the meat, Moses, Abraham. But they did something even greater than that. They only worshiped the one who created that meat, who created that animal, the one God. And that is what Islam is based on. And now, as the last and final messenger, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said, "Man dalla ala khayrin," whoever invites to something good will have the reward equivalent to the one who does it. So the invitation is very important, and education. So we also covered a way, and the Dr. Muhammad, he gave us a little bit of a blueprint that you can go ahead and contribute and do your part. It's very important that everyone shares. Otherwise, do you really care? Because again, if you care, you share. So what's holding you back from getting out there and educating the people? And he's given you a way to do that. So inshallah, God willing, we can be successful. And we can get that reward and we can get the Jannah. So continue to tune into The Deen Show. Subscribe if you haven't already. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter. And we'll see you next time here on The Deen Show. Until then, peace be with you.
Please subscribe to The Deen Show. Follow us on our official Facebook and Twitter pages in the links below. Please also help support The Deen Show by making a donation in the link below.